Hey, and welcome to the Pathway Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here to join us. We hope that this podcast inspires you to live life both for God and your city. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all of our most recent episodes. And remember to leave us a 5-star rating. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in the scriptures today. We're going to close out our Multiply message series today. I'm talking to you about the miracle of multiplication and what you need for your miracle. The first time this passage, 2 Kings chapter 4, just came alive in my heart, I was like a 21-year-old kid, barely on staff at a church, a young adults pastor, and I went out with the rest of the staff at this church. We went out to Phoenix, Arizona. I found myself hearing for the first time Pastor Tommy Barnett. And Pastor Tommy Barnett now is a great mentor and a hero from a distance to me, has been my whole ministry. I've gotten to meet him, and of course that is awesome for a pastor to meet. You know, it's like meeting Michael Jordan if you're a little league basketball player, you know. People like that that I've looked up to so much. On that day, we were gathered in this beautiful church there in Phoenix, Arizona, huge, massive, like Disney World of a church. We have one beautiful balcony here at Moffitt campus. They have three rings of balcony going on up, almost a 10,000 seat auditorium. It's like having church in a basketball arena. Pastor Tommy Barnett preached from this message and challenging pastors to believe for more. And when we finished that wonderful time of ministry, we had a little sheet of paper where we wrote our dreams down. And then we all marched out of the building and we went out across a parking lot. And you know it's a big church when your church owns a mountain also, because they owned a mountain right next to them. And Pastor Tommy called that Prayer Mountain. And we all marched up Prayer Mountain, and I took a hammer and nail, and it was overkill really on a piece of paper, but that's what they gave us. And I drove that dream into the side of that mountain. I said, I'm staking this dream. Now, I don't remember everything that I wrote on that piece of paper, but I remembered on that day someone substantial to me encouraged me to dream a dream that's much bigger than I was. Now, my dad did that sort of thing, and my mom did that sort of thing. My dad's one of the most hopeful, optimistic fighters for the gospel I'd ever met in my life. And, you know, I've told you the story about when Hurricane Andrew hit his church. Church went from this really great church to 17 people in one Sunday. And I begged him, I said, Daddy, please go to pastor another church, you know, move out of the area. 250,000 people moved out of that community. And it was like instantly crime riddled and a very difficult place. My dad wouldn't leave. In fact, for those next few days after that happened, he slept under a picnic table until they got a little mobile, RV trailer that they began to live in. And here's what he told me. He said, son, this community has never needed me and never needed the gospel, never needed Jesus more than it does right now. I'm not leaving. I'm called to this place. He saw something in his mind that he wouldn't let go of. Now, my dad would say things like, son, things don't come in can'ts, they come in cans. I would say, Daddy, I can't. He would say, son, can't isn't in the Johnson vocabulary. I think maybe he said, can't ain't in the Johnson vocabulary. But on this day at pastor school in Phoenix, Arizona, I heard Pastor Tommy Barnett tell all of these pastors, you can do more. You can dream for more. God's dream for you is bigger than the dream that you can achieve on your own. It was a powerful message. And on that day, he shared something. I've kind of rephrased it a little bit, and I want to tell it to you today. But you already have what you need for your miracle, for your dream. God has placed something in your heart and in your life. And if it isn't there yet, if that dream isn't there yet, I promise you, every single person, God has given you a mission and a purpose and a vision he wants you to have in life. And I just want you to dream big today, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your situation. Now, I know today, this is our fifth service of the weekend. I know today and this weekend, there have been people that God has great things in store for them. But their present condition is no indication of that. Your present situation is overwhelming. Your mind is bothered. Your heart is bothered. Your finances may be in a difficult place. Your body may be battling something. Your family may be busted up. There may be something that you're up against. But listen, I want you to know that God's plan for you is bigger than anything that you're facing. Whoever did that, just go ahead and do that right now. I just know where to preach to right now, okay? I'm preaching to the dreamers. Listen, this message, it won't be for everybody because not everybody is gonna be able to see it. Let me say it a different way. At the beginning of this message, maybe everybody can't see it, but by the end, I pray that the word of God plants down deep in your heart and every one of us believe that God has something bigger for us than what we can do for ourselves. Is that a word? Does anybody have that? Say, I got that today, Pastor. Okay, so let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 1. The Bible says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. So I want us just to pause for a second and understand the situation. Not only is this woman who admired her husband, she admired him, she said, he practiced what he preached. He feared the Lord. His message from the pulpit, his message in the temple, his message in the synagogue, his message on the street corner, his message in the house was the same as what it is for our family. And you know he feared the Lord. And so there's the whole situation where she has loss, experiencing grief from losing her husband. But it's like the pain on top of that is now, I don't know what we're gonna do because we're gonna lose everything. We've got debt and we weren't prepared. That, you know, maybe there wasn't life insurance. I don't know exactly what it was. Maybe they had a drought and this prophet slash farmer or whatever it was that he had, he got out over his skis and then when he was gone, he wasn't able to provide. And now his widow and two sons were in a terrible place. In fact, the Bible says that these two sons of a preacher man were about to be taken off and put into a debtor's prison. In fact, some of the slavery that you see in the Old Testament was this kind of slavery. It was the kind of thing where you got locked up until you could work off what it was that you owed. And she's going, I lost my husband and I'm about to lose my two boys. What do I do? She's saying this to Elisha, the esteemed prophet. This other prophet was like a junior prophet. He was like in prophet school and there was literally a prophet school. This is where he was. And so scripture says, what can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? That's my question for you today. What do you have in the house today? Her answer was this, nothing at all. Praise the Lord, it wasn't just nothing at all. There was an except there. She said, I do have a little something, nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil, she replied. Now be careful in 2021, 2022, be careful because if you aren't careful and if you believe this cultural moment, then you will believe that the reason why you can't is because of where you've started. You believe that why you can't live up to God's hope for you, expectations, the dreams that God has placed in you is because of which neighborhood you came from, what your socioeconomic status is, what your parents did to you, or that you didn't have parents, or what happened to you at school, or what color you are, or what kind of schooling you've got. Listen, it doesn't matter where you've started. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you've come from. Listen, you were created in the image of God. How many of you are believers in Jesus Christ? You've been called by the name of God. You are his sons and daughters. You belong to the King. Jesus is your elder brother. He's the only begotten son of the Father, and we're adopted into the family of God. Here's the thing we need to do right off the bat today is forget our old identity. That old man that you were, that old woman that you were, you've been baptized, you've been buried. That old man, that old woman is buried and forgotten. You've been resurrected new in Jesus Christ. You have a new identity. You have a new name and you have a new destiny. How many of you believe that today? Can you bless him? Listen, if you start with the excuses for why you can't do something, you'll never do it. A lot of times we begin to share our excuses in advance because we think we're gonna fail. Stop worrying about failing. It's okay to fail. Fail a few times, but keep going after it. If you'll trust the Lord, that dream that he's placed inside of you, it'll come to pass. Even if your sons are about to be carried away into a debtor's prison. This is all I have. So here's what Elisha said. Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour your olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. So I just want you to get this picture. Elisha gave direction. She obeyed. She told her sons to do just what Elisha said, go and get as many jars as you can. And then she stayed, and she was the one who was pouring out the oil. Soon, every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. Now, I don't know how that happened. I don't know if they were out there going, this is the stupidest thing. You know how kids are, right? I can't believe we're having to do this. You know, go clean your room. All right, okay. You know, they're stomping off. Come back here. You know, I don't know if that's what it was going on, or if they really did go out and get all of the jars they could find, and then that was all that was left. But this is what they did. So there weren't any more, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. This is a beautiful, powerful story. Let me tell you today that everything that you need for your miracle is right there in your house. It's right there in your hand. God didn't send you to do a job and ask you to take on someone else's personality, someone else's gifts, someone else's status. You start from right where you are and you move forward from there. We don't need a ripoff of somebody else. God designed you and he placed you. And when you're unfaithful to the giftings that God gave you, you feel like they're not enough. You need to rip off somebody else and imitate somebody else. Then what? It's like we're second guessing God. So use what you have in your hand. Now, the dream that we have, how do we know if the dream or the vision is from the Lord? Now, there are some big dreams and some big visions that are just, let's be honest, they're crazy. They're not gonna work. It might be a pizza dream, you know? That might be something, just an idea. But listen, if it's a God-shaped idea that he gives you, if the vision is from God, I know this, it'll be bigger than we are. If it's something that we can do in our own strength, then it's a vision from us. But if it's bigger than us, it may just be from the Lord. Now, it seems to me that everybody can dream big right now. Everybody. Business can dream big. Healthcare can dream big. Government can dream big. But you let a church man or a church woman dream big, and there's always some crab in the bucket that wants to pull you down when you start climbing. Is that your experience? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody help Sonia out. Say that again one more time. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, Pathway Church, this is a place where dreams happen. This is a place where the impossible is possible. This is the place where we actually believe that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Pathway Church, we have what it takes. We can do the word of God and the work of God in this city for the glory of God. And you know what? God isn't gonna get the glory from some measly little dream. We're gonna dream big. We're gonna dream big. There's always somebody out there. Let me just speak for myself. There's always somebody out there trying to bring down the dream. There's always somebody out there trying to yuck my yummy, right? God gave me this dream because it's my dream. He gave it to me, right? And if you don't like my dream, then go find somebody else to follow. But this is the dream that God has given me, right? When your kids don't like your dream, remind them that that's why they're the kids and you're the parent. And when they're parents, they can go get their own dream and their own discipline and their own hope for the house, right? Well, I don't like that. That's fine. As long as you live in this house and sleep under this roof and eat this food, sit at this table and breathe this air, you're gonna go by my dream, right? I don't feel like going to church. That's okay. I don't feel like preaching sometimes, but people need to hear the word of God, and I need to preach because this is the dream. It's like fire shut up in our bones. You know, there are times where I don't feel like being your parent. I don't feel like being your friend. I don't feel like being your pastor. But this is the dream that God has given for the house, for this family. And when it's a dream that comes from the Lord, there's no amount of sleep that you hadn't had, no lack of money that you do have, no physical malady that you do have. Listen, that's why my dad said on his deathbed, as long as I have breath in my body, I want to praise the Lord. I just want every breath to glorify God. Pathway Church, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, don't stop dreaming God-sized dreams. Man, I'm just going to complain just a little bit because I feel like it. Started out at a little church and we had a building, and I just felt in my heart that we needed to get rid of that building and get somewhere else. And so we did, except I couldn't get the place sold. And I moved out and we got people renting it. We were meeting in a borrowed place, paying rent. And the church was growing, but I'll just be honest, I was tired of setting everything up and tearing everything down. I got mad one day because, well, I'm the kind of leader that feels like I don't want to ask people to do stuff that I'm not willing to do. And so I would help set up and tear down. And so I got a little sweaty, and I was preaching that day. And I guess my shirt was a little wrinkled because I had been working before. And somebody put on the connection card, "What's wrong with the pastor? It looks like a dog chewed on his shirt." And I thought, I just wanted to go find that guy and lay hands on him. It is a prayer request section, by the way. You know, I'm thinking, who, I'm ready to be out of this too. You know, I was ready to be out of that situation too. Well, some Johnny come lately came into the church, and he left the church because that other church wasn't good enough for him. And so he came to our church, and he didn't like that church, which is why he left. And so when he came, then it was like, it was his mission to tell me how to do things like his old church did. And I just want to say, if your old church did it so right, why don't you go back? Just what I wanted to say. I didn't say that. But he used this phrase. He said, "You know, Pastor, I know that you're going from pillar to post." Like he was trying to say, we're just bouncing around. I wasn't bouncing around. Actually, the church had grown bigger than the building we left by this point. And yes, I was tired of being portable. But this guy is going to show up after I've been dragging this wagon up a mountain, working hard, praying hard, preaching hard. And then he's going to come sit in the wagon and tell me there's a smudge on the wagon. Get off my lawn in the name of St. Clint Eastwood. That's what I want to say, you know. Always somebody that just doesn't esteem your dream. Well, I could see, you know, I'm not mad at him. The reality is I could see something that he couldn't see. You know, at that point, our church was already the biggest church in our city. And from then, God did multiple miracles. And we outgrew multiple buildings. I could see it, but he can't. Listen, you got to know that there will be times that people can't see your dream. You hang in there with that dream. Not everybody's going to esteem it. You know, it isn't humble to have small dreams, and it isn't arrogant to have big dreams. A pastor, a small group leader, a parent, Christian business leader, a Christian teacher, a Christian coach, you are not narcissistic or arrogant if you have big dreams. I just really need to hear somebody. I just really need somebody to understand what I'm saying. Pathway, don't ever apologize for the dream that the Lord has given us. Don't do it. Don't do it. Be careful who you share it with, because if you aren't careful, your brothers might throw you in a pit and tell your dad that you're dead. They might do that kind of stuff. You got to be mindful of that, but esteem the dream that God has given you and dream big. In fact, today I'm just closing my eyes. I've been thinking about this whole week, and sometimes I've said it a little bit. I wish I would say it more. It feels kind of crazy, but I believe that there's some small dreams that are happening right now, little kernels of ideas that are happening in this place. You're getting permission to dream and believe bigger than what you are. I believe today God is giving people ideas for businesses that are going to change your family, going to change your life, going to change your church. There are people that can barely scrape money together to give, and you're going to help build buildings at Pathway Church in the future. That's just what I'm believing. It's what I'm believing today. I just want to give you, I don't care how old you are, dream big dreams for the glory of God. Somebody give God the glory for that today. Let me just give you four things really quick about God's dream for us. The first thing we need to know is that God's dream for us is bigger than us. Pathway Church is an amazing place. And it's been an amazing place for a long time. But it's getting more amazing every day because the dream is coming to fruition. There have been prophecies over this church in the past that have been coming, you know, to fruition, and people are seeing it and testifying of it. I thank God. But let me tell you, God is not finished with our story. We have not arrived. We are on journey. We are in process, and he's at work inside of each one of us. God's dream for us, it's bigger than us. There's too many campuses for me to be at all of them. So what do we need to do? We need to raise up more leaders. More kids leaders, more youth leaders, more worship leaders, more campus pastors, more teachers, more small group leaders. Come on, we need people that are in love with Jesus and in love with their community, and we'll go after both. So I'm excited. I'm excited about Foley Campus. Freddie Todd, Sandy Todd, I'm excited for what God's gonna bless you guys. Easter 22 is gonna be one awesome day. It's gonna be an awesome day. All of our services are gonna get packed. People are gonna come to Christ. God's gonna use you guys. He's gonna help level you up because the dream is bigger than you. The dream is bigger than me. Adam Parker, you're about to be the campus pastor of Airport Campus. I just want everybody to know, you're gonna be a great campus pastor. I'm so excited for what God is doing at Airport. Come on, somebody get excited with me about that. But in all of that, can I share one of my regrets with you about campuses? I don't know that I've ever said this out loud. Right before COVID happened, we took a field trip with our staff to Memphis, Tennessee. We went out to look at a building, and while we were there, we were given the keys to a building. It was gonna be Memphis, Pathway Church, Memphis campus. It was debt-free. We didn't know anything on it. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Y'all, some of y'all looking at me like, oh, that's exactly how I looked when right after taking the keys, then the government began to shut everything down. And I thought, how in the world am I gonna be able to keep our staff fed and our lights on when they're telling us we can't have church? And now I want a building over here in Memphis? I'm ashamed to say I gave the keys back. I looked at my present circumstance and I weighed it with the challenges of the dream. And I thought, this isn't safe. Listen, faith is not safe. Faith is not safe. I won't make that mistake again. I won't make that mistake again. But I'm telling you, we are not done at Airport. We are not done at Foley. We are not done at Moffitt. I believe there's gonna be more campuses as long as there are people that don't know Jesus in our circle of influence. We're gonna keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor, why do we have to do so much in Cambodia? Why do we have to do so much in Guatemala? Why do we have to do so much in Bahamas? Because there are people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God has called us. Here's what I found. When we believe the dream and we take steps of faith, then the resources are in the next steps. The resources aren't with us, but the resources are mobilized as we step out by faith. God's dream for us is bigger than us. Secondly, God's dreams for us are worth holding on to. Say that with me. God's dreams for us are worth holding on to. They say that if you can hold on to a dream for 5 years, that dream will come true. The problem is holding on to a dream in the early stages, it just doesn't. You put it on a napkin, you put it in your notes app on your iPhone, whatever. It just sounds crazy. And you step out and you get smacked in the face by reality. You know, that idea you had, you find out it's harder to get people to take up your idea. Harder than what you think. But if you can hold on to it, Pastor, I want my whole family to know Jesus. And you don't understand what's going on in my family. My kids don't love the Lord. They won't listen to me. They're battling with things. Financially, things are difficult. There's strife in my marriage. Listen, that's the time to dream. That's the time to pray. Don't you quit for anything. don't you stop for anything. Your present situation is no indication of God's plan for your dream. In fact, the very nature of the definition of a dream, it's someplace out there that's different from where you are. Your dream is the vehicle that will get you up out of that ditch and get you to where God wants you to be. So you keep praying for your children. You keep praying for your spouse. You keep praying for your church. You keep praying for your small group. Teachers, you keep praying for your kids in your classes. You know they come from some very difficult places. Do keep praying for that police force that you work with. Keep praying for the people that you arrest and you throw in jail. You keep doing that thing. Don't let up. Don't quit. Don't get cynical by what you see and experience. Don't assume room temperature. You set the temperature in the room. Go inform yourself on your culture. Go inform the culture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants to do something in us. It's worth holding on to. But so many of us don't hold on to it because, like me with that building in Memphis, I thought, well, there's not enough. Well, see, that's the problem. Scarcity thinking is in direct opposition to faith thinking. And we're faith people. We're not small-minded people. We're not static-minded people. We're not self-deprecating people. We're people that believe in something bigger than what we are. See, the fact that we have a dream isn't a testament to how awesome we are. It's a testament to how awesome the God inside of us is. God wants to do it. In fact, he's looking all over this earth for people who are willing to cooperate with God. In fact, if you look at history, some of the people that were used most greatly by God weren't the most qualified people. They were just the people that were willing to show up. I started out with some people that are so much more competent than I am. But they quit. They quit. They got tired. They got discouraged. That's great. You want to be a small group leader? That was a nice little promo. Wes, you guys were amazing. You were amazing. Hey, Erica, how did you do that? That was an awesome video. But that's nice. Somebody's going to respond to that video and they're going to go be a small group leader. And then they're going to find out that people don't show up on time and people don't do what they said they would. And they can never get anybody together for their ministry project. And the fun night never happened. So I'm going to quit. Look, you aren't here to lead people that are doing everything like you want to do them. You're a leader. You take people from where they are and you move them to where you need to be. You're a leader. Act like a leader. Step up. Rise up to the challenge. Self-defeating thinking, small thinking, negative thinking. Leave all that aside and hold on to that dream. Be a prisoner of that dream. You really need to hear somebody say, you got a one-track mind. All you ever talk about is Christmas trees and missions and campuses and your family. That's right. That's what I dream about. And it's all attached to the gospel. It separates people. Not everybody wants to hang out with me. And that's okay. You don't need to hang out with everybody. In fact, there's some people, some jokers, you need to shake loose in your life so that you can rise to the dream that God has given you. You know what? There's somebody that knows that today and they just need a little courage. There's somebody that's been tearing you down, that has been causing you to fall into patterns of behavior that don't honor the Lord. You like them, but you need to like Jesus more. There are some friends that you have, you just need to let go of. So come on, somebody just bless the Lord. Give somebody some courage today. Okay, I told you one of my regrets. So I told on myself, now I want to brag on something the Lord's done, okay? Year one, we did buy a tree, change a life. It was an accident. It was wonderful. We raised enough money to pay for an adoption into a Coast Guard family of a little girl from Ethiopia. It was amazing. I was in Washington, D.C. 3 years ago. I went to her house. She's now married and has a little baby. That little baby is cute as a button. They go to church every week. They love Jesus. It's a powerful thing. And I called her up and I said, hey, I want to take you out to eat. She said, I don't want to go out to eat. I want you to come to our house. We want to make dinner at our house. It was the most heavenly dinner I have ever had. I was like an out-of-body experience. I thought, is this really happening? I knew Buy a Tree was gonna be special on year one. So I rolled it out to some friends the second year. It didn't go like I wanted. The third year, there were two sites, one in Bend, Oregon, and one in Augusta, Georgia. They got it like we did, and it was awesome. On that year, I wrote down what I was dreaming for to happen in our 10th year. Guess what? This is year 10. This is year 10, and I looked at it last year, and even though we were able to give away over $1 million last year, I looked at what I had guessed, and I said, there's no way we're gonna make it. Our accounting isn't finished, and when I tell you the full number, it's gonna blow your minds, but we're only just a little bit less than $50,000 away from what I thought we were gonna be about 7 years ago. That's awesome. Dream is worth holding on to. Would anybody like to hear what I want to see happen with Buy a Tree, Change a Life? I think we're going to give away over $10 million every year to the gospel to help children globally and locally. Right from here in Mobile, Alabama. We're already giving away seven figures. Let's do eight. Why not? Somebody. All right, there we go. Somebody bless the Lord. Let's do that. It doesn't happen right away. That's why you have to hold on to it. A lot of us think when it doesn't happen, we think that the Lord didn't show up. But listen, delay is not denial. Sometimes the seed that you plant just takes a little while to mature. Listen, if you're waiting on that Prince Charming or that Cinderella to come along and you're ready to get hitched, which I think Christian young people get married. Have kids, have babies, you know? Sometimes we get out ahead of ourselves though. And we think, well, I really am wanting this thing. And so we settle for somebody that we know is not the right fit. But you really want to be with somebody? Listen, they're a good person. You love them. They're attractive. You know you're not going to spend the rest of your life. As soon as you know you're not going to spend the rest of your life, break up with them. Move on. Not because you don't like them or you're mean, but you need to make room for Mr. Right or Miss Right. And if you're always with Mr. Wrong or Miss Wrong, Mr. Right will think you're occupied and you just need to sweep out the house and make room for the dream. Yeah? Did I do a good job on that, Mr. and Mrs. Young Adult Pastor? Am I in the right place? Okay. Here's what Habakkuk says. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. This is in the King James. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Though it's delayed, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will surely come. Good things are worth waiting for. Let me just say another thing. This culture is saying you can live like however you want. Satisfy your wants and your needs. Don't do it. Listen, if you aren't married, stop having sex. I just want to say that right now. Just wait. Because the dream is coming. Why settle for a hamburger when you got a filet mignon right there on the horizon? You know what I'm saying? There were many pretenders, but only one contender. Baby, I love you. I'm so glad I waited through all of those others. You know, they were trying to catch my eye, and I was trying to catch their eye, and I did not know. I did not know. If I had known, I would have never asked anybody out. I'd just waited, save my money. That'd save me some Valentine's days and Christmas, you know? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. You got to hold on to that dream. Number three about God's dream for us is limited by your faith. God is not the author of scarcity. We are the scarcity. So when we withhold the jars, God is only going to fill the jars we present. And so God's provision will stop where our imagination and our faith ends. I remember one Easter, I decided I was going to give books to everybody that came on that Easter. And so I had a table outside of the door when you come out of the church auditorium. And you know what happened? The books that I set out were just enough. And I wondered if I had put out more books, would more people have come on the Easter? You know what? On that day, I decided I was going to raise my expectation. I was going to lift the lid. I was going to believe for more. It's limited by your faith. I don't know if the sun stopped or the widow stopped or there's all the jars, whatever it is, but I just know that the oil of the Holy Spirit was flowing in that house and it was going to fill the container of expectation. You need to raise your expectation. You need to believe for more. Pathway Church is not a white church. Pathway Church is not a black church. Pathway Church is not a Latino church. Pathway Church is not an Asian church. Pathway Church is not a rich church. Pathway Church is not a poor church. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and our expectation is that everyone, everywhere has a seat to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we present the gospel, people's hearts are going to be touched because the Holy Spirit is moving. Lives will be changed. The blind will see. The dead will be raised. Broken marriages will be put together. This is a place of reconciliation. This is a place of transformation. That's what we expect. Why do you expect that? Is it because you're more enlightened? Is it because you're better than others? No, it's because we serve the God of all creation who stepped out of heaven and took on the clothing of humanity, moved into our neighborhood, ate our food, spoke our language. And even though we were created in the image of God, we believed a lie and we turned from him, but he came in a way we could understand him so that he can reconcile us back to him. And so I believe it, not only for my family, but for my family, my friends, my neighbors, my church, and my city. God's dreams are only limited by our faith. And then finally, if God's dreams for us flow from what we already have in our hand, the miracle is already in the house. I've tried to preach like a bunch of different people over the course of my ministry. You're trying to figure it out. At some point I said, you know what? I'm not T.D. Jakes. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Jensen Franklin. I'm not Tommy Barnett. You know who I am? I'm Travis Johnson. That's all I got. This is the best I have. And the reality is, Pastor Jensen is not coming to pastor this community. You know who is? I am. You know what? James Dobson is not coming to be the father of your house. You are. There's a lot of good role models out there, but mama, they are not coming to mother your house. God has chosen you. Step up into that calling. And understand that the miracle that God has for your life and for your house is already in your heart and in your life. You may not see it. You may not esteem it. You may not understand it. But if God has given you a gift, you walk in confidence in that gift. I want to take you to Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Show us how to have miracles. Show us how to do what you've done. Now, of course, you know that Jesus later goes on and says, the things I have done, you're going to do even greater things. But here's how the Lord answered. This is the vehicle. The Lord answered, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He's saying, you don't have to have a lot. You don't have to have a trust fund from your parents. You don't have to have the highest GPA. You don't have to have the best physique. You don't have to have the best smile. You don't have to have the best personality. You don't have to have an inheritance. You don't have to have the best education. You don't have to have the right friends. You don't have to know people. God can take anyone from anywhere and do anything he wants. All you need is just a little bit of faith. That's all you need. Airport camp, all you need is a mustard seed sized faith for the dream that God has given you to come to pass. And let me tell you, that God is here in this house looking to unlock your heart of expectation because he has a calling for you.
We hope you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all of our most recent episodes and visit pathwaychurch.us/give. We'll see you next week.